Today on Bold Steps, Mark Jobe shows us how to be the spiritual peacemakers our world so desperately needs.
We show acts of kindness to those that don't deserve it. Why? Because we're sons and daughters of the Most High God. And while we were yet sinners, He loved us. And when we didn't deserve it, He showed compassion to us. And He touched us and loved us and redeemed us. Therefore, we operate in a way that is commensurate with the God that we serve.
Welcome to Bold Steps with Pastor Mark Jobe, President of Moody Bible Institute, and also Senior Pastor of New Life Community Church in Chicago. I'm Wayne Shepherd, and today we're diving into part two of a timely lesson all about the habits of peacemakers. It seems everywhere we look, the world is breaking in two, demanding us to take a side and double down in the fight. But as Christians, we're recipients of the limitless grace and peace of God, and it's our responsibility to help share that with the world. If you missed part one of our lesson, make sure you catch up as soon as you can by going to our website, boldstepsradio.org. That way you'll hear all of Mark's teaching about the first few points on the habits of peacemakers. But now, let's join Mark for the start of today's message.
Let me say that again. They've done a lot of studies throughout our country, and they realize that, really, your happiness does not depend on the money that you make. I know some of you think that if you made double what you make right now, you would be a happy camper. You say, well, at least I'd like to try it, Pastor. I get it. But can I be honest with you? The research does not show that. In fact, they've done research on people that won the lottery and realized that the level of happiness between people that won the lottery and people that did not win the lottery, there's no significant difference. They've also done happiness studies on people that make a lot of money and people that make a lot less money, and there is no variable in the research indicating that money makes you any happier in life. The variable that does indicate that people are happier, listen, are people that are able to develop a community of friends, that are able to engage with family, that are able to work through conflict and not push people away, and that are able to establish a community of people in which they are vulnerable and open with, and they are able to hang out with and spend time together. In other words, people that learn to get along with other people are the happiest on the face of this earth. This is not just what the Bible says. This is what research out there, extra-biblical, secular research, is telling us. And the Bible had told us that a long time ago. Blessed are the peacemakers. Happy are those that have learned the art and the power of making peace in their relationships. Number three, I'm talking about the habits of peacemakers. Peacemakers initiate reconciliation in their relationships. Notice what it tells us in verse 17. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. A better translation, I think, is the ESV that says, but give thought to what is honorable in the sight of all. This is not being a people pleaser and trying to please everybody, but this is being conscious of what you do and how it affects other people. Are you with me here? There's a difference between being a people pleaser, I'm always trying to do everything so that people are happy with me, and doing things in a way that you realize what I do affects other people, and I want to honor other people and make sure that I'm not deliberately or indeliberately offending them. So it says, if possible, verse 18, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Can I tell you something? Peacemakers initiate peace. Let me tell you what that means. That means that if you are in a situation where you know that someone is angry at you, there's an unresolved conflict with you, that it's easy for you to say in your heart, well, they got the problem, they should come to me. But peacemakers initiate peace. They have a humility that says, hey, do we need to talk about this? Peacemakers, they don't just love peace. The Bible doesn't say, blessed are the people that love peace. We all love peace, but very few of us are willing to engage in peacemaking. Do you understand the difference? Some of you on your way to church here, you're in a house full of people fighting for the bathroom. It's chaos, and someone in the house says, I just want a little peace. Have you ever said that, parents? All I want is a little peace and quiet. One young mother was telling me that sometimes she just goes in the bathroom and closes the door because it's the only place that she can get a little peace and quiet. I just want a little peace and quiet in my house. We all love peace and quiet. That's why we like vacations, because you get away from everything and it's peace and quiet. So it doesn't say blessed are the people that love peace. Blessed are the peacemakers, because to make peace involves work. It involves initiative. It involves stepping into thorny situations. It involves people that are in conflict, people that are angry, people that are not getting along, people that have hurt feelings. And so peacemaking sometimes means that you engage in relational reconciliation with people that are angry at you, but it also means that you have the initiative to step into situations that may be around you, close to you, in your family, and say, hey, can I broker this? I see that you guys aren't talking. Do we need to kind of bring you two together? Can we talk about this? Blessed are the peacemakers. You are working towards restoring peace. Let me be honest with you. Some of you are not peacemakers. You are conflict agitators. You know who I'm talking about. You're not like, yeah, I know, she probably didn't mean it that way. Why don't we sit down and talk, clarify this? Some of you are like, she said that to you? Well, girl, I wouldn't take that. I would tell her back that. You need to call her up and tell her this. And you know what? If I were in your place, man, you're taking that. You are conflict agitators, not peace brokers. And can I tell you the honest truth? There are some of you in this auditorium that probably have family members that you haven't spoken to in 5, 6, or 7 years because of some conflict that happened. And I'm a pastor that's done a lot of funerals. Invariably at funerals, there'll be someone at a casket weeping loudly, very grieved, and oftentimes telling the person that's laid out in that casket things that they should have told them 5 years ago. They're apologizing. I should have told you. I'm sorry we didn't. I did this. Hey, that speech should have happened 2, 3, 4, 5 years ago. Why are you waiting till they're gone to express how much they meant and the appreciation? I grew up in Spain and lived in a village of 200 people. And I remember my father talking to a man and a woman who were up there in age, living in the same village of 200 people. They hadn't spoken to each other in 25 years. In a village of 200 people, because they had a disagreement over inheritance money. And when all is said and done, blessed are those that initiate the process of brokering peace, that step into conflict. And this is what he says. So if possible, now it's not always possible. Sometimes you try to extend an olive branch and the person slaps it out of your hand. Sometimes you say, hey, can we talk? And they don't respond. I've had situations where I've reached out to people. They don't want to talk. They don't want to. And so I give them space. And sometimes you have to give them space. Sometimes people choose to be angry, hateful, and bitter at you. But at least it should be on their side, not on yours.
You're listening to Bold Steps with me, Mark Job, pastor of New Life Community Church and president of Moody Bible Institute. We'll get to the final half of today's message in just one moment.
Yes, but first, I want to let you know how to find us online so you can revisit any of these daily messages and discover all the other resources and opportunities we have available. Just go to boldstepsradio.org. While you're there, we also invite you to let us know you're listening by sharing with us any comments or Bible questions you might have for Mark. In fact, Mark, I'd like to read you a letter we received from a listener named Hector. This is what he had to say. My wife and I have been married for over 40 years, and we've been serving the Lord for over 20 years. She has her thoughts on being saved, and I have my own. You were talking the other day about Christians who still stumble in sins like smoking, drinking, etc. My wife claims they are saved. I say they need to be reborn to be saved. She argues that we are not to judge. God does that. I still say they need to be reborn to enter the kingdom of heaven. The Lord said they call out to him saying, Lord, Lord, and Jesus said, I don't know you. Let me know if I'm wrong.
Hector, thanks for your question. You know, there is a little bit of a right in both of your answers. But let me just clarify here. There's a difference between being saved, and being saved is that process which we come to Christ, where we repent, we believe, and the Holy Spirit enters inside of us and renews us. Hector, that's what it means to be born again. Jesus said you cannot enter the kingdom of God unless you're born again. Once you're born again, the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. However, there are times, even when we're born again, that the Bible tells us that we can fall into lukewarmness. We can actually fall into unrepentant sin. We can let our hearts get hard. It doesn't mean that we lose our salvation. It just means that we are living as Christians in a state that God does not desire. Now, God brings about discipline. God brings about situations in our life. The Bible talks clearly about that in multiple places, that if we walk away from God or we start living in sin, that God will try to draw us to repentance. But if we don't respond, he'll bring discipline upon our lives. And so there's a difference between a believer that is walking in a fleshly way and is going to experience the discipline of God, and someone perhaps that has never truly been born again. Just because someone goes to church, just because someone, even just because someone has prayed a prayer, praying a prayer doesn't automatically mean that you're saved. It's the sincerity and the faith of that surrender to God that makes you born again. So, can a believer, a true believer that's saved, fall into sin? Yes. Do they need to be saved again? No. Do they need to repent? Yes. And so, I hope, Hector, that answers your question.
Yes, thank you. And if you do have your own Bible question you'd like to ask Mark, or want to tell us how Bold Steps has helped you in your walk with Christ, let me invite you to contact us today. Go online to boldstepsradio.org. You can also call us and leave your message on a recorded line by dialing 312-329-2011. That's 312-329-2011. Now, let's dive into the final half of our message today about the habits of peacemakers.
Not only do they initiate reconciliation, by the way, Romans chapter 14, verse 19 says, so then we pursue the things that make for peace and building one another up. We pursue the things that make for peace. All right, number four, peacemakers trust God to bring justice to situations. You say, well, Pastor, you don't understand. This person really did me wrong. They lied to me. They really did me wrong. And so I want to have nothing to do with that person. In fact, every time I see them, I think they need to pay for what they've done. And, you know, and so I stalk them on social media, and I see who their friends are, and I watch them. Have you ever noticed that when you get angry at someone, when you're really, you don't want them to know that you've clicked on their profile, but you're stalking them, you're watching them. Oh, they're listening, they're talking to that person. They just knew who they're talking to. And you just become obsessed. Let me tell you something. Here's what Scripture says. Look at this. Look at this. Trust God to bring justice to situations. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. Leave room for God's wrath. This means don't take it into your own hands. Every person on the face of this earth will stand before the judge. We will all give account for our actions. And you are not the judge. And you can spend your life trying to make someone pay for something that, you know what, God's going to make them pay for it anyways. You just need to say, God, I'm going to put this in your hands. I'm not going to try to bring about vengeance on mine. I'm not going to try to get, maybe justice hasn't happened, but God, I'm saying that you are the God of the universe. You are sovereign. And so I'm going to put it into your hands to bring justice in this situation. Part of what we have to do in an unjust world is leave some things up to the sovereignty of God. Amen? I've never seen good come out of people that take vengeance into their own hands. Unfortunately, we live in the city of Chicago. We've had to have funerals outside of the city because of concern over retaliation, sometimes of this group versus that group. And it's this perpetual cycle of vengeance, this perpetual cycle of trying to get even that never satisfies either part. There's a process and a power when someone says, I know this person, it feels like they got away with it, but God, I'm entrusting it into your hands. You do justice where I can't, God, and I'm allowing room for the justice of God. And lastly, peacemakers overcome evil with goodness. Now, this is going to blow your mind. This is so countercultural. This is not what you want to hear, but this is Jesus style. Jesus said it, by the way, in the Sermon on the Mount. He talks about those that persecute us, and he talks about our enemies. Paul is repeating it. In Romans chapter 12, he's giving the same essence. He says, on the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, laugh at him and say, ah, you got what you deserve. You're hungry now, huh? Well, I hope you eat dirt. This is what he says. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. Feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on their head. The very opposite of what they expect. That you would beat them while they're down. That you would take advantage of them and laugh at them while they're down. The very opposite, he says, is the heart and compassion of people that are followers of Jesus. That we understand that a lot of people do what they do because they're broken. A lot of people do what they do because they're in darkness. And we understand that we were like that too. Many of us did the same things before we came to God. And so instead, we do what is absolutely unexpected. We do good to those that have not been good to us. We show acts of kindness to those that don't deserve it. Why? Because we're sons and daughters of the Most High God. And while we were yet sinners, he loved us. And when we didn't deserve it, he showed compassion to us. And he touched us and loved us and redeemed us. And so we are sons and daughters of the Most High God. And so therefore we operate in a way that is commensurate with the God that we serve. Even the world out there does kindness to those that show kindness to them. People are nice to people that are nice to them. People smile at people that smile back to them. People show grace to people that show grace to them. But when people show kindness to those that are rude, when people act graciously when others are acting ungraciously, that causes people to say, "What's up with that person? Something must be, why are they doing that?" Because they're sons and daughters of the Most High Living God. Because the Spirit of God lives inside of us. I've seen people in this auditorium that on the streets were battling each other in other days. And I've witnessed with my eyes people that hated each other on the streets And when someone walks in broken, and a brother has been here for a long time, their life is cleaned up, they know Jesus, I've seen them be the first that go and says, "Hi." The guy, "I don't know, you went to this church. Hi, man, I'm so glad you're here," and give him a hug. Man, that's the power of redemption. It's the power of forgiveness. It's how people know that we're sons and daughters of the Most High God.
So maybe you're in the middle of a situation right now where the natural inclination would be to fight back, to gossip, to criticize, to let your anger and rage fly against that family member, that coworker, that neighbor. But I want to challenge you to respond the Jesus way. Blessed are the peacemakers. I want to challenge you to pause right now and maybe pray that God would soften your heart to that person that is obviously your enemy or against you, and that God would allow you to bring the kingdom of God culture into your response, so that, who knows, maybe at the end, this individual that you consider an enemy because of your response, because of your testimony, because of your witness, it may bring them one step closer to God. So, Father, I pray right now for that woman that's struggling with responding in the right way to her relative, that relative that continually attacks her character, that relative that continually seems to undermine them. I pray for that man, Father, that right now is full of rage and anger towards an individual in their life. And I ask, God, that you would fill us with the Spirit of Jesus. I pray that a response would be a godly response. I pray that we would be peacemakers. I pray that we would bless those that curse us. I pray that we would forgive those that insult us, God. I pray in Jesus' name that we would build bridges of peace that ultimately point people to you, Jesus. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yes, amen. Thank you, Mark. You're listening to Bold Steps with Mark Jobe. You can easily find these daily messages anytime by visiting our website at boldstepsradio.org. Mark, today's lesson is so relevant because as Christians, we really are surrounded by division and hostility in society right now. I know there's some Christians listening who want to be peacemakers and stand strong against the tide, but the risk of being shut down or rejected, even canceled because of our faith, that risk seems pretty high.
Yes, it does. And I have to tell you that, especially in the very, very polarized world that we live in, I think this message is more important than ever. In fact, as we ramp up to a political season, cultural divide, a lot of people are throwing stones at each other. Family members are divided as well in this nation. There's a lot of people with a lot of animosity. And so could I just challenge you to speak truth in love? I want to challenge you not to let your voice be silenced, but to do it in a gracious, compelling, bold way that lets people know we love them, but that we will not let our voice of truth be silenced. That's why I'm encouraged to offer as this month's Bold Step gift a book written by my friend, Pastor Dr. Erwin Lutzer, entitled, We Will Not Be Silenced. If you have felt that your voice was being shut down, if you have felt the pressure of society to say, sit down and be quiet, then you need to read this book. I believe Dr. Lutzer has done a great job at just giving us some good pointers and understanding our responsibility to speak up, but do so graciously, boldly, and in Jesus' name.
That's a great recommendation. We'll send you a copy of Dr. Lutzer's book, We Will Not Be Silenced, when you give a gift of any amount to support the ministry of Bold Steps. So call us at 800-DL-MOODY. That's 800-356-6639. Or give your gift and request the book online at boldstepsradio.org. And as always, you can mail your gift to us. Just write on your envelope, Bold Steps, 820 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60610. And you know, you don't have to be near a radio or a computer to hear the Bold Steps program. By subscribing to the Bold Steps podcast on your mobile device, you can easily take these messages with you wherever you go and listen while you're out for a walk, running errands, or out in nature. Just search for Bold Steps with Dr. Mark Jobe on your podcast app, or look for any of our related programs such as Bold Steps Weekend, the Bold Steps Minute, and our Spanish Minute, Pasos a Dathos, and hit that subscribe button. That's the end of today's program, but we'll see you again tomorrow for the next part of our series on the pursuit of happiness. It's a message that follows up on some of today's countercultural points by emphasizing the need for us to keep an attitude of forgiveness. As we all know, forgiving those who've wronged us is never easy, but it comes with some major blessings. So be sure to join us for the lesson Thursday here on Bold Steps with Mark Jobe. Bold Steps is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.